Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 16th, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing today, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well. So, D.R., out in the great state of California, there have been massive wildfires lately, right? Have you seen anything about that?
Yes, it literally seems like the entire state has gone to hell, so to speak. And there was a great piece by Tim Dickinson, Rolling Stone, talking about the extents of the wildfires and how destructive they've been, and how basically that's an example of the sort of thing that we're going to continue to experience if we don't take action to curb carbon pollution, that basically more states and more homes and more regions and more businesses are basically going to go up in flames. It's going to be essentially a worldwide backdraft is what we're looking at, essentially.
Well, so given the fact that that's a context for a political discussion in California, right? There's fires raging, in fact, around Sacramento. But in the Sacramento State House recently, there was another conflagration of sorts. So the California Assembly was trying to pass a bill that was appropriately called State Bill SB 350, sort of in memory of the 350 parts per million in the atmosphere. And it was an extremely aggressive attack on climate change by the biggest state in the country, in fact, which would be the, I think California would be the 11th largest economy in the world if it was its own country. But anyway, California tried to pass a big climate change bill, and tell me, what happened?
Well, they passed what turned out to be a watered-down version of the bill on September the 11th. The bill is going to require utilities to produce at least 50% of their electricity from clean energy, such as wind and solar, by 2030, and it's going to increase energy efficiency in homes and buildings. The problem is that there was a key part of the legislation that would have required a 50% reduction in petroleum consumption in the state. And
which is primarily in cars, right? When you say petroleum in that sense?
Yes, but petroleum in cars, it would have basically encouraged, you know, more electric vehicles, more fuel efficiency in vehicles, but that provision was removed from the legislation before it went to final passage as a result of a multi-million dollar lobbying effort by the fossil fuel industry, including explicit lies placed on advertising and claiming that the bill would be it basically would somehow mandate a rationing of gas, which is completely false.
I saw that. They even made up a different name for the bill, right?
The opponents called it,
what do they call it?
The California Gas Reduction Act of 2015, or the Gas Rationing Act of 2015, which is a complete lie. The bill was the Clean Energy and Pollution Reduction Act of 2015, and they ran all these scare ads basically suggesting that people would have to push SUVs to where they want to go because they wouldn't be able to get gas, and that somehow the federal government, that the state government would sort of, you know, regulate the days in which you could drive your car, and just complete BS.
But
it was BS that sadly some of the state legislators fell for. And also,
I also heard that there was some opposition even on the Democratic side from some of the more rural farming areas that didn't want to have to pay higher cost to run their tractors and whatnot.
Well, that was the claim, but the LA Times and other news reports also noted that the fossil fuel industry made its presence felt in campaign contributions. I guess you could say that in a state dominated by drought, they made it rain financially. And as a result, some of those legislators that were recipients of fossil fuel contributions basically decided to get cold feet about doing something about warming and thus decided to reject the bill until that provision was removed.
So it's kind of a hit. I mean, basically in the sense that, you know, the biggest economy with this ambitious climate change bill basically blinked, I think is all the headlines say. California blinked when it came to pass this very aggressive bill, and it blinked mostly because of the furious onslaught of oil money that was not going to let it happen, right? I mean, the oil, they knew where to fight the battle.
And it shows you once again the perfidy of big money when it gets involved and peddles lies. I mean, we went through this here in Massachusetts with the onslaught against the bottle bill by opponents of that, who basically, you know, dropped a lot of money and dropped a lot of deceptive advertising upon the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and caused that bill to go down in defeat. And once again, you see how these entrenched interests allowed to, you know, dominate with their money. They basically are allowed to sort of sabotage public health and the common good.
Well, one of the things that I saw said that Jerry Brown, who of course is the governor of California, the once and future governor of California, was going to use executive action, much along the lines of Obama's Clean Power Plan, to implement a lot of the petroleum reductions that would have been mandated by the bill. Did you see that as well?
Yes, I did see that, but I think the point of controversy was that there's a concern that, you know, a successor to Jerry Brown might not be as much of a climate hawk. So therefore, the Senate President Kevin De Leon, I think his name is, he wanted to codify these provisions into law. Mm-hmm. And that was the point of SB 350, which was, of course, that provision was gutted by the fossil fuel industry. So you do have a watered-down bill, which, while it will do a lot for energy efficiency and will do a lot to boost renewable energy, it was not nearly as strong as it absolutely needed to be. And as a number of news reports noted, this was a bill that in its original provision would have shown a lot of leadership going into Paris, because so many people are looking to California as a sort of model for how a clean energy economy can run. And when you see California backing down from where it needs to be in terms of going all in on clean energy, it basically sends a chilling effect to the rest of the world, not just the rest of the country.
So with that depressing thought in mind, I guess the question is the power of the oil industry and their ability to lie, I think, is unquestioned. But I hear recently there's been sort of a new revelation about you said the word perfidy, but the ability to say things that aren't true with a straight face on the part of the oil industry, right?
Yes, this comes from a story, first in a series of stories from Inside Climate News, noting that whereas previously it had been reported that Exxon knew as early as 1981 about the reality of human-caused climate change and the risk it would pose to future generations, now it comes out based on internal documents that they knew as early as the summer of 1977 that climate change posed a severe risk.
So this is ExxonMobil, the biggest oil company going, in 1977
exactly.
had already concluded that climate change was a real risk.
Exactly, and they've uncovered a series of internal memos and internal documents from 1977 to 1982 demonstrating that ExxonMobil recognized the risk, invested some money in researching the severity of the risk, but then, of course, after James Hansen called upon Congress to get going on this, ExxonMobil went all in on basically this sort of kill the messenger strategy, this big lie strategy, and basically denying what their own research from the late 70s and early 80s showed to be a severe risk. So ExxonMobil, in other words, did the exact same thing. This is the smoking gun evidence that they did the exact same thing the tobacco industry did in terms of blatantly lying about what their own research pointed out to be true.
So let's just, for the younger listeners amongst us who may not appreciate the battle against tobacco, since 1964, the tobacco industry consistently denied that cigarettes cause cancer. Right? And they went for decades denying that, and it was only a long-fought battle of getting information out of the the cigarette industry that finally led to massive prosecution, where the cigarette industry was held responsible for selling a product that they knew was harmful, right? That was the crux of the smoking. And so nowadays there are these huge settlements, and a lot of those settlements are funding the anti-cigarette commercials you see on TV and whatnot, right? But that was a long battle, and you're drawing the analogy that this is a milestone in the analogous battle against the climate change side of the ledger, right? Where now you have proof that a huge corporation knew 4 decades ago that their product was harmful, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to think that all those years they were telling you to put a tiger in the tank, they weren't acknowledging in public, but they were acknowledging privately that the tiger in your tank was going to tank the planet. I mean, it's just
And
absolute.
it's I think it's interesting. Even that article that you're the Inside Climate News article said that the people doing the study were doing it in good faith, and they were sort of trying to prepare to have Exxon. I think it said Exxon wanted to know how long they could sell the bad stuff, and then still transition out of the industry when the time came. Right? They were playing a
Exactly.
timing game to say, okay, we'll sell it for 10 more years, but by then we will have developed some solar panels. But then somehow somebody in the higher echelons decided that wasn't the route they were going to go, and they completely denied that data, or apparently, right?
You can draw a comparison to the infamous BP Beyond Petroleum campaign in the early 2000s, where they did start investing in solar and clean energy, and then a few years later decided, ah, to hell with it. We're gonna back petroleum instead of
Right,
going beyond it.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, despite the, I guess you'd have to call it a loss in California or a setback, at least in California, there is no losses because we're in this for the long haul, right? There was.
Exactly. Well, you know, as Van Jones famously said, a setback is a setup for a comeback.
Exactly. Well, and I was going to quote the podcast that I love about Roman history, and the guy saying, with the Romans, the war was not over until they won, right? If they got beat one year, they came back the next year, and they'd do it again and keep coming back
Exactly.
until they finally won. And then the war was over. I think the same is true for us. I mean, so we've been set back, but the war is not over, and we'll be there to do this all over again next time around, right?
Exactly. I think Jerry Brown said something similar, that big oil won this battle, but the war is going to be won by climate hawks.
So, DR, we got to leave it there. We'll tell our listeners they can check out the links to most of what we talked about at our brand shiny new website. It's massclimateaction.net/blog. You can find the podcast on our Facebook page at /massclimateaction. Please share us with your friends. They'll be so grateful that you told them about us. You can listen to us, of course, directly on your smartphones using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. You can download the podcast from iTunes. I hope you do that. Please subscribe. Please rate us. It helps. It helps. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool. Ha 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 ha.